Well, let me just add my welcome. It's great to see you here and have you with us on this evening as we have our annual carol service. And I want to spend a few moments this evening considering, as we did this morning, just one of the many verses that we read at this time of year. It's very sad to me that some of these great readings that we've had this evening, we only ever read at Christmas, and they're wonderful things and contain wonderful truths. And I want to focus in on one particular verse that's from the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. And it's where the angels are speaking to the shepherds, and they announce that there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And I want to spend a few moments talking about the fact that Jesus is Saviour, that he is Christ, and that he is Lord. What is the significance of those three things that the angels announced to the shepherds? And some of the children can help me at a few points as we go through. Well, first of all, let's ask a question. Why is that message that the angels gave, why is it good news? Because that's what they said. We've got glad tidings of great joy. So why is it that if Jesus is Saviour and Christ and Lord, why is that good news? Well, let's think firstly about the fact that Jesus is Saviour. Now, what does it mean to be a Saviour? Well, let's think about a few things. First of all, let me show you a few photographs. Now, these first pictures, they're a little bit blurry and grainy because they're from a CCTV camera. For some reason, whenever you see photos from CCTV cameras, the quality of them is often dreadful. But here are two men looking upwards with their hands raised high. What on earth are they up to? That they're not doing anything religious. They're not worshipping. The reason... You jumped the gun there, Chris. The reason they were looking up is that they had noticed that several stories up in an apartment building, that young toddler was in an open window. And they were looking up and waiting, and that little toddler fell. Do you think they'll catch the baby?
Yes!
Good for you, Hugh. Next photo. You're right, they did. They saved that baby's life. Now, you know, I don't think those two men woke up that morning and thought to themselves, I'm going to save someone today. I don't think they did. They turned out to be that baby's saviour in terms of preventing it from, well, it almost certainly would have died, the height it had fallen from. And they saved it. So that's one way that you could be a saviour. Let's think about a few other ways. I've got some photographs here. Now then, who can help me? Top left-hand corner. These are all jobs that people do. What job does that man do? Could be a woman even. Top left.
A fireman.
Fireman. Could be a fire. They call them firefighters nowadays, so it could be either. Firefighter. Top right. Police officers. What about bottom in the middle? What's his job?
Is he a paramedic?
In the middle? No, right in the middle at the bottom, the light-coloured one. What's he? I'll come back to you in a minute, Scarlett. We're a doctor. What's the one on the left?
Paramedic.
Can you make out the one on the right-hand side? What do you think he does? Yeah? Do you know? He's not, no. Yes.
Is he a person
who goes
on boats to
sea? Yeah. What do we call those boats? Do you remember? Lifeboat. He's a lifeboat man. Now, because of the jobs that they do, there may well be times, I think, when they get to save people. Do you think? I do. They may well even have saved people's lives. Probably they all have, especially some of them, probably the paramedic, maybe the fireman, the doctor, the lifeboatman, but maybe even the police officers. I saw a film not long ago, only very recently, and someone's car had gone into a deep water and they were still inside it. And police officers dived into the water and got them out as the car was going under the water, not very far from here. And just because of the job that they do, they may well have opportunity to save people. Now, when they were all tiny little babies, because they all were once, weren't they? When they were tiny little babies, do you think anybody looked at them as a little baby and said to themselves, they're going to save someone one day? Do you think anybody said they were all, oh, little baby? But no one was probably saying, they're going to save someone one day. And so in some ways, you see, the message that the angels brought about Jesus was very, very strange and very unique. Jesus was born to be a saviour. There is born to you right today a saviour, someone who's going to be a saviour. And of course, previously, the angel had told Joseph that the name of Jesus was to be Jesus because he was going to save people from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ was born to be a saviour. Now, I can't think of anyone else in the whole world that you could say that about. That the reason they were born was to be a saviour. There may be one or two, and as we might say, like those men catching the baby, oh, you were in the right place at the right time. Or some people might have a job that means they have opportunity sometimes to save people. But none of those people, no one ever said of them, you were born to be a saviour. The very reason you were born was to be a saviour. But it was said about Jesus. This is the one who's going to save from sins. That which keeps us from God. That which separates us from God. That which brings God's anger and judgment upon us because of our sin. This baby will grow up to be the one who saves you from sins. Isn't that wonderful? No wonder the angel said, we've got good news. He's been born to be the saviour. That's unique. That's who Jesus is. Now, the second thing that we have in that verse is that Jesus is Christ. Christ. Now, how can we explain how important this word is? Well, who can tell me who this rather smug-looking guy is? Here's a man who divides opinion. What's his name? Don't you see, even the little ones know him. But there are some fantastic photos. He's got some great facial expressions. But I thought that smug-looking one was probably a good one. Donald Trump. He's become a really, really famous man, hasn't he? If you'd never heard about Donald Trump on the 1st of January 2016, you've heard about him now, haven't you? Everybody knows about him. Now, I want to contrast him to someone else. Let's bring us another photo. Now then, who are they? Who are they? Can anyone name one of them? A hand at the back. Lily. It's the royal family. What are their names? Anyone know? You know Donald Trump. Just shows you, doesn't it? Who are they? Anyone know what they are? The big one, his name begins with a W. William, of course it is. And the little one, that's his son. His name begins with a G.
George.
Now then, let's just bring them up together. Now, this is a question maybe for the older ones. Donald Trump, let me ask you. Roughly, how old do you think he was? Not how old you were. How old do you think he was when you first became aware of him? And let's take it in decades, 20s, 30s. Was he in his 30s? Was he in his 40s? Was he in his 50s? Anyone like to suggest maybe roughly how old he was when you first became aware of him?
60s.
30s? Ooh. 20s? As a teenager? Donald who? What about those two? How old was Prince William when you first heard about him? How old was Prince George when you first heard about him? Actually, we knew about them both before they were born. We hadn't seen their pictures and we didn't know what their names were going to be. But we actually knew about them before they were born. We saw pictures of their mums when they were expecting them. Why did we know that about William and George? But we don't know that about Donald Trump. Why? What's the difference? Someone said it before, actually. How come we knew all about those two boys? Even before they were born. Why? One of the older ones? They're the royal family. They were long and eagerly expected. They were long and eagerly anticipated. They're royalty. If they both live long enough, one day both of those will be the King of England, if we've still got a monarchy. Might be a long time yet, but that's who they are. And so everybody knew. Everyone was waiting. And from the moment they were born, because there's this eager anticipation, this eager expectation, because of who they are, everybody was ready to see them. The Bible tells us the angels declared Jesus is the Christ. Now, why is that important? Little story, a little history lesson. Just over 300 years before Jesus was born, one of the nations in Europe became a very powerful nation. One of the reasons they became so powerful is because they had a very successful military commander who led his army on great escapades and won all kinds of battles. His name? Greek? Alexander the Great. And the influence of Greece was far and wide. And their influence even went into a country called Egypt in North Africa. And there, a great city was founded, and it was named after Alexander, and it's called Alexandria in Egypt. And because of what happened, for quite a while, the kings of Egypt were not Egyptians, they were Greeks. And one of the things that Alexandria, as a city, was famous for was a great library one of the biggest and best libraries of the ancient world. And the king, who was Greek, decided that he would like some new books added to the library. He wanted copies of the Jewish scriptures. Now, that's what we know today as the Old Testament from our Bibles. And of course, the Old Testament had been written in what language? What language did the Jews speak in Israel? Anyone know?
Hebrew.
But this man thought, I want it in Greek. So he set aside 72 clever men, and they translated the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek. Now, what on earth has all this got to do with anything? Let me tell you. The angels declared that Jesus is the Christ. Now, the men who wrote down the New Testament, that was in Luke's Gospel, as Luke wrote it down, they were using the Greek language. And as Luke wanted to tell us what it was the angels said, Luke turned to the Greek Old Testament. And he used a special word to speak of Jesus, Christos, Christ, God's anointed one. The Jews, in the Hebrew, they use the word Messiah. That's what the word Christ means. That's who it's referring to. God's anointed one. The Messiah of the Old Testament. The one that all through the Old Testament, God has been speaking about. Eagerly anticipated. Eagerly waited for. And when Luke says that the angels declared that this Jesus is the Christ, everybody then knew what he meant. This is the one we've all been waiting for. All through the Old Testament, it's speaking about him. It's picturing him. It's describing him. It's pointing to him. There are promises given about him. We're expecting him. And the angels are saying, he's here. He's arrived at last. This is the one that God has been speaking of all this time. When the Apostle Peter stood and preached for the first time on the day of Pentecost, he said, "Know assuredly that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ." This is the Saviour that God has long, long been promising. He's here. He's arrived. And finally, he is Lord. The Saviour who is Christ, the Lord. Now, some people will say, well, of course, Jesus was not God. Some people will say, the Bible never says that Jesus is God. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. You see, the word that Luke used, Lord, is a very special word. Kurios. Supreme One. In the Greek Old Testament, it used this word to speak about God. No doubts, no ifs, no buts, no maybes. The word that had already been used to speak of God in the Greek language, Luke used. This is God, the Lord, the Supreme One. If you are the Supreme One, there is no one above you. There is no one bigger. There's no one more powerful. There's no one with more authority, the Supreme One. And this is the message that the angels deliver to the shepherds. This is the message that we continue to repeat. Not just every Christmas, but every day, every week, every month, every year. God has sent a Saviour to save you from your sins. He's the only Saviour that God has ever given. He's the only way to be saved from your sins. Can we be sure that Jesus will do what the Bible says he will do? Yes, we can. Why? Because this is the one that God has long been promising, and he's arrived. And we can be sure that Jesus can save us from our sins because Jesus is God.